Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, what a blessing it's been just being in church. Every opportunity we have to assemble ourselves together, we sense the presence of God. I trust you sense that every time you come through the doors of this church. And you come ready and looking forward to receiving a blessing from the Lord. And I think that if you come expecting that, then I don't think that you're going to leave disappointed. Genesis chapter 6. We've been on Wednesday nights, we've been studying the life of Noah. And you can't hardly study the life of Noah without studying the time of the great flood, because they go together. And we've been looking at the book of Genesis, the beginning of all things. And so we have been studying what God has given to us concerning the beginning of man. And we know that there was two genealogies that God gave to us. Now, there was many more, but he gave us two genealogies. The one of Cain, which was the one of that which was unbelief, that which had rejected God. And so we know that they were multiplying on the earth. And then there was the genealogy of Seth, which was the godly seed that because of Seth and his seed, man began to call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says. And so we know that the world was being populated. Before the flood, there was 1,600 years, 16 generations of population, of a population explosion, if you will, because people lived a lot longer during the pre-flood era. And so they continue to reproduce. And so for 1,600 years, 16 centuries, the earth was being populated. Many would even estimate that there had been over a billion people on the earth when the flood came, possibly even more than that. We don't know for sure. We do know the genealogies that God has given to us, and that the sons of God, which would have been the descendants of Seth, and the children of Cain, or the daughters of man, which would have been the descendants of Cain, was come together and had ungodly marriages. And over the period of time, they turned from what God established the earth and the ways that God established them to live. They were turning from that. To when it come down to Noah's generation, God looked upon the generation, he looked upon the earth, and he realized that everything that he had created had went opposite the direction that he planned and designed for man. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, let me just read it to you. This is just a little bit of introduction. After God created all things, he said this, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Everything, all of creation, after he created it, they was designed for good. And that's what God wanted to continue. 1,600 years later, we find in Genesis in chapter 6 and verse 12, this is what God says. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And that's where the world goes. That's where the flesh will leave you, will lead you, rather, when you turn away from God's purpose for life. You turn away from the belief in God and the understanding that God has a design for humanity and how that we are to live and occupy this world. We go away from God's design, it's going to lead to what it led to before God destroyed the earth with the flood. And so we've been studying some things about that. And so we looked at many things here already. Can't go back and re-preach and reteach those. But the main thing here, we saw that Noah and the ark was God's plan to offer grace before judgment. After he saw what had taken place, judgment was imminent. But God, the DNA of God, how God works, is unchangeable. God is immutable, means he never changes. And you can see God's DNA from the very beginning all the way through to this 21st century. See how God works. God's love for mankind has never wavered. God's desire to present grace before judgment has always been. He would much rather bless than to judge. But because of his DNA, because of his justness, he has to judge. And so we've been studying some of these things. Last week we looked at verse 12. Now we've been studying this for some time, but we looked from verse 6 down to verse 12. In verse 12, the Bible says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt." And we studied that word corrupt, and we broke it down to understand exactly what that meant. And the Bible says was corrupt before God. Corrupt before God. And for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. He had corrupted his way. God had not corrupted him. And it was no one else to blame but every individual, because God had created man. And even at that point, the animal life, we don't know exactly all that God had created pre-flood concerning the animals. Some believe that the serpent talking to Eve was something normal, that animals could actually communicate with humanity. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't get, but it does. It leaves it up for us to speculate possibly. I don't know that it's right or wrong. I believe there were some animals that were not salvaged in the flood. I mean, in the ark after the flood. I believe there was a totally different situation there. The Bible gives a somewhat record of that. But all flesh, and that we've seen that it was including animal life as well as humanity. Now, animals were created from the dust of the earth as man was. And you can see somewhat of the DNA in God in just how he created all things. The thing that sets human life above animal life is the human soul, created in the image and after the likeness of God. That's not in animals. Amen? Animals do not have an eternal soul. And so we find here that animals could have had a free will to choose to go in the direction God designed them for, or go to an opposite direction. They had corrupted themselves, all flesh. That's animal life as well as humanity. The Bible says that they had corrupted themselves. It had changed. It had changed. That was a key word. Well, now we're going to be looking at verse 13 down to verse 16. That's what we'll be studying tonight. So if you stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. So this all flesh had corrupted their ways. Now because of their decisions, then God's decisions was already made. If you do what I say, you have my blessings. If you go opposite what I tell you to do, then you're going to be judged. He had established that with humanity from the very beginning. He establishes that with us from the very beginning. Amen? You want God's blessings? Do right. You want God's judgment upon your life? Just turn away from what God's will is for your life. Turn away from righteousness. Turn away from how God designed us to live. Turn away from that. You're going to have God's judgment at some point in your life. But if you want God's blessings, first of all, learn of his righteousness. That is what's right to do, and just do it. Position yourself. And I encourage people to do this all the time. Position yourself for God's blessings upon your life. Amen. I think you're making an attempt for that, for being here on a Wednesday night midweek service. Amen. That shows faith. That shows your desire to learn more about the Bible, because Wednesday night is more of a Bible study and prayer time. And you want to be a part of that. You're here tonight, so praise the Lord for that. You're positioning yourself for God's blessings upon your life. That's a blessing to me. I applaud that. And we praise the Lord for it. Okay, now you're here. That's half the battle. As you know, I tell you this quite often. The other half of the battle is get plugged into what the message is tonight and put everything else out of your mind. Be prepared to receive what God has for you. I believe it's a great truth tonight for us to receive from this life of Noah. And so let's read here, starting in verse 13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for this, just another opportunity to be in church. I pray that you would help all of us to put everything else out of our minds tonight and focus on you. What a great thought. What great comfort. What great peace can come to us when we just focus on you. I pray, God, tonight that you would just meet with us, bless in the study and the teaching of thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find in verse 13 down to verse 16 is God's plan for Noah's work. Now remember, Noah and the ark was God's plan to offer grace to humanity, to the world, before judgment. And so now God's plan for Noah's work and how he would work through Noah to be able to offer this idea of grace to anyone and everyone that would receive it. The first thing that we look here is Noah was to understand his primary purpose for his existence on the earth. God is sharing with Noah everything that has taken place on the earth. God is going over all these things. Noah has understanding of this, and God wants Noah to understand everything from the design to where man is now, how God views it, the judgment that is to come. And then he acknowledges Noah as someone who had positioned themselves for God's blessings upon his life, someone who had kept themselves pure to righteousness. Someone who had found the very grace of God, meaning he was seeking after God. In order to find it, you have to seek it. And so we find here that God is revealing all these things to Noah. And now God is going to give Noah instructions. And one of the most important things for Noah to understand with the instructions that God would give him is, Noah, understand this. This is your primary purpose for your existence on earth. For when your existence on earth, when you have no other purpose for me on earth, for the saved to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And what a blessing it's going to be to have a fellowship with God without a sin nature. Be able to really, God created us for his own pleasure. And he's going to have more pleasure in us without a sin nature than he does with us with a sin nature. Amen. The only way that we can have fellowship with God now is through the blood of Christ. And it blocks out, if you will, washes away that sin. And God sees us as being justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees us without sin. And because of that, then he's able to fellowship and find pleasure in Christianity. That's why the lost, they can't fellowship with God. God cannot hear their prayer. They're dead to God. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. That's what the Bible says. We can be quickened or made alive unto God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we find here that God is presenting these things to Noah. And he's revealed everything to Noah concerning what was taking place. And Noah now needs to understand his primary purpose for his existence on earth. To be mindful of man's corruption in God's just action of judgment. If you're here on this earth, if you're going to be able to accomplish something for God, you have to be aware of what's taken place, the purpose of this earth, the purpose that God has for allowing humanity to live. Now, you saw right here, it says, God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. So why did God allow man to continue to live? Grace. Why does God allow this earth to continue to function, even though man is going opposite God's will for his life, and it's only getting more and more wicked? There is greater and greater apostasy, and yet God tells us through the Word, as we get closer to the end times, there will be even greater and greater apostasy, a falling away from the ways of God. So why does he allow man to live? Why not end it all right now and just take the godly on home to glory and have fellowship with them and allow them to enjoy a glorified body, allow them to enjoy eternity? Well, so God is getting across to Noah the very same thing, if you will, that he wants you and I to know today. A lot of similarities. Why? Because of God's DNA. Because God is unchangeable. And so we find, that's why I believe we have this account of the destruction of the earth, the great flood, is because we learn more about God. And as we learn more about God from the account of the flood, we can apply that to our lives today. Because God's the same God today as he was then, he is today, and will be forevermore. So God wanted Noah to, first of all, be mindful of man's corruption, so he tells him about that, even though Noah already knows. He looks around. He knows that there's not anybody living the way he's trying to live and serving God. So he wants him to be mindful of man's corruption and God's just action of judgment. Verses 12 and 13. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. No one to blame but himself. If you're living in sin, you have no one to blame but you. Now, is there temptation? Yes. Is there a devil? You better believe there is. But you can't blame it on the flesh, and you can't blame it on the devil, and you can't blame it on anyone else. If you're living in sin, the only one that you can blame it on, the only one that's truly accountable for that is you. Because God gave you a free will. He created man with a free will. I believe he created animals in the early, the animal flesh that he's talking about. If they corrupted themselves, then they had to have a free will to live differently than what God designed them to live during the pre-flood era. Because not only was he displeased with man, he was displeased with all flesh. Animals as well as humanity. And so he tells him that. It was corrupt. And God said unto Noah now, the end of all flesh has come before me. There's coming an end to it. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy the earth. It's come before me. It's what I'm going to do. For the earth is filled with violence through them. That which didn't have a free will, that which I designed for humanity to be able to enjoy and have pleasure in, because they turned away from me, they've even corrupted the earth. The earth is full of violence. I did not design it to be full of violence. God designed it for peace and joy and rejoicing and praise. God surrounds himself in an atmosphere of praise today. And if he was going to have pleasure in the earth and pleasure in humanity, he designed it to have pleasure in praise and godly things and rightful things and righteousness. It was the way God designed it. But now, because of that which had a free will, not only did they corrupt themselves, but they brought violence on the earth. Now he's telling Noah this because Noah needed to know that. For all flesh is, and God said, the end is of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, listen to me, behold, means listen, I will destroy them with the earth. He's going to destroy the earth with the flood. That's what he says. Now, Noah knows this, and the grace period will be 120 years. It's going to take Noah 120 years. We've already studied that. The Bible tells us that. But during this time, there'll be 120 years of grace while Noah is building the ark. After the 120 years is fulfilled, those that are outside the ark are going to perish. Those that would believe and receive the grace of God would come into the ark and they would live. That's what we've already studied some of that. We've seen that. So, can I tell you the same thing is true today? Grace is God's plan for the world today. The vehicle that God is using to reveal his grace is his church. Since Christ, he ushered in this New Testament church age. And through the church, God and the church is made up of born-again believers. The church is not the building. It's where we meet. But the church is every member of this church. It's if you're a member of this church and you make up the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And God is going to work through this church or through its membership to do our part in presenting and offering grace to the world. Just as he used Noah and the ark. Just as he used Abraham and the children of Israel in the Old Testament. The law. And now we find he uses the church in this New Testament church age. It is the vehicle that God is using to reveal his grace. And what must we be aware of? Can I tell you that one of the most important things that you and I can be aware of that's going to help us to do what God has called us to do, to do the work that God has called us to do, is that judgment is imminent. And it's righteous. For the wage of sin is death. If you do not believe that, you will not go soul winning. If you do not believe that God wants the whole world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, if you don't believe that the world is going to die and go to a devil's hell unless they receive God's grace. And God has one plan for grace, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you do not believe that, you will not accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. Noah would not have continued to build this ark 120 years in the desert without ever feeling one drop of rain if he didn't believe God is going to judge. And this is man's only hope of grace. But God will bring judgment upon man. One of the first doctrines that the religious crowd want to do away with is the doctrine of hell. You can't preach on fire and brimstone today. Come on, you're going to offend somebody. You can't tell anybody they're going to die and go to hell. You're going to offend somebody. You're going to upset some people. You can't tell anybody that they're sinners. You can't just preach that as a sinner you're going to die and go to a place of eternal damnation where the worm dieth not. And one of the first things that Satan is going to try to blind humanity to is that a righteous God is going to judge sinful man. And they will die and go to a devil's hell, just as God did destroy the earth with the flood. And they all perished, except for those that accepted the grace that God offered. So God says to Noah, I want you to be mindful. It is just, but I will judge. The world's going to be destroyed. You'll need to know that as you're fighting off some of those thoughts and suggestions that Satan has put in your heart, Noah. You'll need to know that when you're hearing the ridicule of humanity and they're telling you that you're some kind of a weirdo, there's some kind of a nutcase building somewhat of a boat in the middle of a desert. It's never even rained on the earth yet. And you're telling us that there's going to come a flood? Who's going to believe that? Same people will say that say a rapture. Come on. You really believe that there's going to be a rapture in the church? You really believe that there is a literal place of hell? You really believe that there is a fire in hell? The very same people. And if you don't know for sure what you believe, and if you don't know for sure that God is going to judge the world, you're going to have a tendency to maybe shift a little bit on what you're looking to accomplish for God. Maybe sleep in on a couple days instead of go out there and build on it every day. Yeah. Well, the second thing that we find here, he wanted Noah to know that. He said, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He's telling Noah that because he says, Noah, now you need to know this even before I tell you what I want you to do. Because this is what's going to help you to complete the task. Now he says, in light of this imminent event, this is what I want you to do. So the second thing was, in light of the judgment of God, Noah needed to know what God wanted him to do. Now, if you believe, all right, first of all, okay, there is a hell. And no matter how religious or no matter how sincere somebody is, if they do not accept God's grace, God's plan for salvation, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Okay, I got to understand that for me to then be open to God. Why am I here? I'm saved. I've already received grace. I've already asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I'm saved and I know it. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my existence on earth? Noah had that question. If I'm the only one here, God, just take me on to glory. Let's start enjoying eternity together here. But God says, no, I've got grace to offer first. And so church, he says, that's coming. Look forward to the time when we're raptured up, the time that we are going to get rid of this old mortal body and become immortal. Amen. We're going to get rid of this flesh and have glorified bodies. Amen. Get rid of all the imperfections and have perfection. He said, that's coming. Be aware of that. But before that, I got grace to offer. And you're a part of my work. You're a part of my grace that I'm offering to the world. Isn't that good? That's what he's telling, though. It's the very same thing that he tells the church today. So, in light of this imminent event, Noah needed to know what God wanted him to do. Chapter 6, and we just read this, verses 14 through 16, is what Noah was to do. Verse 14, make thee an ark. The main objective, Noah, for the rest of your existence on this earth, for the next 120 years, as I'm offering grace before the flood, the main objective that you have is to focus on making an ark. Now, the ark was really not a boat. It was more like a floating barge. It had no navigation system on it. It had no oars, no outboard motor. Had no way to propel itself. If you look at how God told him to create the ark and to build the ark, it had none of these things. It was just a place of refuge. In the midst of a flood, the only thing it needed to be able to do was float and be waterproof. It was more like a barge. So the main objective is to make thee an ark. It was God's plan, so God had the blueprints to it. Noah did not devise this in his own mind. He didn't wake up one day and say, you know, it's going to rain. I better make a boat. Didn't happen that way. He had no idea of what to build. He had no idea what to expect. God revealed it to him. And with that, God says, my plan for your life, the purpose that you have for the next 120 years is to build an ark. An ark? He could have said to build a floating barge. And Noah would have said, I know as much about a floating barge as I do about an ark. But I love this because right after that, because it was God's plans, God told him what type of wood to use. Now, wait a minute, does it really matter? If you're like me and you don't really understand much about the different types of woods, to you it would not matter. But to God, who has the blueprints and knew what the ark would have to withstand, the ark is going to have to withstand these winds and these waves, and it's going to be tossed around, and there's going to be coming a flood, and this flood is going to be mighty. A mighty downpour, a mighty uproar from down beneath. The water is going to be filling the earth from beneath and from above. And there's going to be winds and going to be storms. And all this is going to take place. Noah had no idea what to use in the construction of the ark. But God knew ahead of time what it was going to take, what kind of wood. Now, I know that certain woods burn a lot faster than other woods. That's about my knowledge of woods is fireplace. And I know that if you're going to make a bow, you better use the right kind of wood or it's not going to bend like it's supposed to bend and have the power pressure. It'll break. God knew what kind of wood, and God tells him exactly. He said, no, don't use that wood and don't use that type of tree. I want you to make this, and I want you to make the whole thing out of gopher wood. What in the world is gopher wood? Most of the commentaries couldn't tell me either. But understanding why God told, I guarantee you it was a hard wood. And it would be the most difficult wood to cut down. The job was not made easy for Moses, amen? It's not going to be an easy life to be the Christian that God wants you to be, but whatever God tells you to do, there's a reason He tells us to do it. It's God's blueprint. And so, Noah, don't go to the easy cutting wood. I want you to go to the hardest wood out there that you can get, because the wood that's going to you're going to build the ark with, it's going to have to sustain the flood. So he tells him, first of all, what kind of wood? After that, he says this, and I love this part of it too. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. He knows that Noah is going to have to live in this ark. And I believe that what he did is said, Noah, humanity is far above animal life, and so I'm going to allow you to put a divider between the two of you. Now, if that, I could use that, I won't, but I could use that for a case of animals belong outdoors. What are you doing having that dog licking you and living inside with you? Amen. It's a dog. It's a cat. They was out soul winning the other day, and Andy came back and said, you never believe this. I thought it was a dog. I looked over, it was a pot-bellied pig the guy had as a pet. What's next? He said, I want you to have dividers in the ark. Praise the Lord for that, because I don't think he was going to make his family have to live with all the animals. They needed to have their own little quarters, right? My wife would agree to that. It's your turn to say amen right there. But not only that, they had different rooms, I believe, because they couldn't put the large animals with the small animals because it's going to be some time. What would happen? The large animals would probably just sit on the small animals. What am I telling you here? It's God's design. Noah wouldn't have been able to understand that. He's just saying, you want rooms? I'll build rooms. You want me to use gopher wood? Sure, make it as hard on me as you can, but I'll use gopher wood. He knew what it meant. He knew what kind of wood he was talking about. So he's got gopher wood, he's got rooms in the ark, and then he says, and shall pitch it within and without. God says, build an ark using my blueprints. Type of wood? Rooms? Pitch it. Waterproof it. Pitch is a type of tar. Inside and out, I don't want water seeping in. Don't slack on the pitch. Put it all over it. Many believe that, of course, this would have been, the pitch would have been something like tar. The type of pitch he would have had available to him in that day would probably have been more like what we have as tar. And so the ark would have been black. You know, you see pictures of the ark today, and they have it looking like some kind of a ship and boat in all the different colors. And listen to me, don't go by some artist's what he has in his head concerning what it looked like. And I love this time of year. I love Easter time. I love the idea that people are looking to be in church, and they have to acknowledge the fact that as a nation, as a Christian nation, we placed on our calendar a date to acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what I don't like is all the different Hollywood movies coming out to trying to depict what Jesus looked like, because they can't do him justice. And some of the things that they try to make you think that the way it was is not the way it was. They're not using the Bible as they should be using the Bible. They're trying to make it in a way that man will be entertained by it. It wasn't done for entertainment. So the ark, pitch it. I want it waterproof. The size of it. Now, so many, get off on this. All right, how big was the ark? Well, it was, the cubits is this much and this much, and there was this much pitch. There was this many tons of pitch, and there was this many trees that had to get cut down. Listen to me, what does that matter? It doesn't matter. What matters is it wasn't Noah who had to come up with the idea of the size of the ark. How big would you make it if you thought that you was going to have to put all the different species in it? Who can know that? God. The size, God knew how big. I don't need to have some psychologist or psychiatrist or someone with some kind of this great knowledge to figure out, you know, what it was going to do and how that Noah through his mind could understand this and do all this to tell me the reason why they built the ark, the size that they built it. I don't need to know that, because it wasn't man's design. It was God's design. And the one that knew how many creatures he was going to survive, he was going to bring to Noah. And the animals came to Noah. We'll see that later on. It wasn't Noah going out after the animals. God had put it in the animals to seek the grace that he would provide even for all flesh, not only humanity, but for the animals that would survive. God knew what size. That's what's most important. In verse 16, it talked about a window at the top. Now, would Noah understand, okay, now with this size, what kind of ventilation do we need in this place? God understood that. He knew that all the heat would rise, and there had better be some kind of ventilation, something for the heat to go through the roof. And it was designed exactly the way it needed to be designed. And the door in the side of the ark, the exact size that it needed to be to allow all the animals that God was going to bring to the ark for easy access to the three stories that God had told him to build. Noah did not have the technology. Noah did not have the insight of it on his own. He was just going off of God's blueprints. Now, that in and of itself is good to know, but I don't believe that's why God's revealed this to us. God knew, for it was his design. Practical application for us today. That's why God has it here. God's purpose for believers on earth today. I guarantee you God's purpose for believers on earth today. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, the very end of Matthew, the Great Commission. Why I have you alive on earth today is because I want my grace presented to the world. So I want you to go into all the world. That's our purpose. That's why God hadn't destroyed the earth yet. That's why we still have, and we've had 2,000 years of New Testament church age. And the church is still looking to do the job that God's called us to do. Hadn't changed for 2,000 years. The commission has not changed. Why are we changing it today? As we go into all the world, what we're supposed to do is see people saved by presenting to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once they are saved, then we need to get them scripturally baptized, and then we are to disciple them after the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is, those are the ones that we use to establish churches. It's God's design. Just as God designed the ark, and we can see how he instructed Noah, God designed his church, and everything about the church God designed is not of the Baptists, it's not of humanity, it was God who designed it. To assemble ourselves on Sunday. Jesus established that. In this New Testament church age, it was the first day of the week that he resurrected. It was the first day of the week that his disciples came together. It's the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. It tells us to come together with our tithes. It's the first day of the week. It's what God designed. Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath. And so as being Lord of the Sabbath, he could establish whatever day he wanted to. And he established the very first day of the week. And then, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, whenever the church decides to meet. And God's will is not to forsake that. God's design. God's design concerning the positions and qualifications. Preacher, how can you say that women should not pastor? How can you, in the day and age we live in, how could you preach that women should not pastor? When all the other denominations are now adopting it and they're putting it in there, where before they said no, but now they're saying they can. And those same denominations are now saying it's all right to have homosexuality. Homosexuals become members of the church and pastor the church. How can you stand against that? Because it's not my design. It's what God has designed. And the qualifications for a pastor is the husband of one wife. The qualifications for deacons, it's in the Bible. It's the positions that God has established. Why do you have positions of pastor and deacon in the church today? Because we're just following the same design that Jesus established. The ordinances. Why do we have the Lord's Supper? And we'll be having that this Sunday night. Why do we have baptism, the two ordinances of Jesus Christ? Why do we do that today? Why? Because it's God's design. And then lastly, why do we have personal distinction for church members? Well, church members make up the church. And the church is a vehicle that God uses in this New Testament church age to present grace to the world. And if the vehicle is no different than the world, how will the world know that there's something different?
That's right. Amen.
Is that why Jesus told the believers that they were the salt? And if the salt has lost its savor, it's no earthly good. Because the purpose on this earth for the church, the purpose on this earth for believers, is to present the grace of God to a lost and dying world. Titus chapter 2, and we're done. I've got to quit. Titus chapter 2. I think this helps us to understand that. Why do you preach separation? Why do you preach that we need to be separate and different in what we do in our associations and how we live? Because part of God's plan. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Don't lose sight of that grace. That's why we're in this New Testament church age. And that's why God hadn't destroyed the earth yet. And He will destroy the earth, but it will be by fire this next time. But He wants grace to be presented first. So, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, this is what it teaches us, this is what God designed it for, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Is that how the world is living today? No. But that's how the church ought to live. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Keeping our eyes focused on the rapture. Noah had to keep his eyes focused on the flood. If he was going to continue to do the work and get the ark built in the time that God told him to get it built. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. Whoa, a peculiar people. Didn't say weird. You've heard me say that. I don't believe in being weird. But I do believe in what peculiar stands for, and that is different from the world. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So what are we saying here, preacher? I'm saying that as we study what happened before the first destruction, before the first end of the world, after 1600 centuries, when God destroyed the world with flood, it's the same God, it's the same man. And we can see a lot of the very same things in this New Testament, in this church age. Because it's the same God. And in knowing this, it might help us just to keep doing what God's has us here to do. Amen? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.